Yes, I think what we offer with the process we have designed is a rethinking process. So we have experiences, we build assumptions around those experiences, and we often perceive those assumptions as what builds our reality, our perception of reality. But that's not necessarily true. That is something we can change.
Welcome to the podcast From Zero to 100. Today's topic is a narrative approach to monitoring. This may sound very technical and more for project management, but this is not the case because we will not talk about tools which you can apply to monitor a project. We go some steps back and we'll hear which importance has our own understanding of monitoring and the way how we express this. But before telling you everything, at the beginning, I would like to welcome Geza Bend and Kerstin Golembiewski, who elaborate on the approach. Hi, Geza and Kerstin.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
Hey, thanks. Yeah, thanks for your time. And yeah, before we're going more into detail, maybe you can let us know a little bit more about this approach and also presenting yourself.
Shall I start?
Yeah, please, Kerstin, just go ahead.
Okay, cool. So perhaps, first of all, some words about myself. I could extend it, but I think what is relevant for the topic today is that I've been working for now 17 years in and around change, I would say, change processes. And till 2019, I've been solely doing this in peace and human rights work abroad, which means not in Germany, but in other countries. In the global south, you could say. And then in 2020, I started working as an independent consultant. And I also started working, I always call it, with my home society. So it was important to me to not only work with projects, people, groups, so to say, in other contexts, in other societies, but also with who are living in Germany and who are active here. And actively trying to foster and or support change. And what is perhaps also important, and that's why we are here, is that since I'm working as an independent consultant, I very much started to focus on narrative methodologies. So I work with narratives and stories, and I think we'll hear a bit more about what that means later on. But I think for now that's good enough, and perhaps Geza would like to add some words about herself.
Yeah, I've also been working in the field of peace building, gender equality, conflict prevention for the past 10 to 15 years, mostly on planning, monitoring, and evaluation with different organizations and networks around the world. I currently work with a small NGO, Kurve Wustrow, as project advisor in the Civil Peace Service, working with peace project teams in different regions. And I also work as a freelance consultant on issues of strategy development, monitoring, gender sensitivity and analysis, and facilitation of different processes. And part of this is where Kerstin and I connected through our joint work and then working together on monitoring and narrative approaches because we felt that something was needed there. So that's also what we're going to talk about today.
And maybe you can tell us or to the listener briefly, what is this, what you called a narrative approach to monitoring?
I think a narrative approach in general means that you look at what people tell themselves and tell others, but mainly themselves, about how things are. So this means that by what we experience throughout our lives, we connect those experiences to stories, and those stories, they feed into a narrative, something that we tell us, because it's helping us to kind of make sense of what we experience, to see a certain logic in regards to what is happening around us. And at the end of the day, this logic and this sense-making leads to kind of a basic assumptions, a basic understanding. And the narrative approach works with this, or comes from the perspective of saying that those basic assumptions we we kind of have or we form as narratives. And by telling us those narratives, we kind of also determine how we think and how we feel and how we act in this world. And working with those narratives means, on the one hand side, first of all, to make them explicit. And then it means to see in how far there might be parts in there that got perhaps a bit lost, that are not so visible, that are not so strong, but that you would like to perhaps have more present. Perhaps you would like them to be more present in your narrative, and or perhaps you would like to change certain assumptions that you formed over time, because they are only based on some of those experiences that you had.
Thanks, Kerstin. And yeah, I think it's also important for our listeners to understand more about this approach. Kesa, would you like to add something about, because you're also offering this as workshops, anything where you would say, okay, it would be interesting for the listeners to know more before we dive also into the history, how it came to this approach?
Yes, I think what we offer with the process we have designed is a rethinking process. So we have experiences, we build assumptions around those experiences, and we often perceive those assumptions as what builds our reality, our perception of reality. But that's not necessarily true. That is something we can change. So we work with this as a rethinking process, exploring, discovering our own narratives in different ways, reflecting and then rewriting, possibly rethinking those narratives. That's maybe the essence of what we offer with the process.
You already made a good summary, I think, and going over to the next question about, okay, if you can tell us what were the reasons to elaborate this approach?
I think we connected very much around similar experiences that we had, or similar perceptions that we had of working with different project teams, both with groups and individuals, people in different positions, working on monitoring of different projects, or as we did for some time, accompanying people in monitoring their projects. And I perceived among the people that I worked with and spoke to a lot of common struggles in monitoring and making space for monitoring and monitoring change processes in particular, making not only time for that, but also space in your mind. So what I saw a lot was that we tend to see, I think even us, when we get into the busy day to day, we tend to see monitoring not as part of our work, but as an extra to do, something that we have to do in addition. We do a lot of routine. We have meetings, we write reports. So we do a lot. We produce a lot of relevant information that is relevant for monitoring, but we don't necessarily discover that. Whenever I sat down with project teams or just had coffee conversations with people and I would put my monitoring ears on, so to say, a lot of the information that people shared I thought was relevant for monitoring. They were telling me about their observations of a change process that was happening and that was connected to their work. So I kept thinking, how could we support them more in discovering that, in taking that perspective? And people tend to get so caught up in the everyday, I think, and in the implementation part, really, that often there's a feeling, oh, and then we need to do monitoring on top of it. We maybe don't take a step out and observe what is happening already, which sometimes leads to us seeing the glass as half empty rather than half full. And sometimes I think we're not giving ourselves the opportunity to feel the change that we are a part of, to celebrate it, to generate energy from what we do and what we are achieving as we go along.
Yeah, and sometimes it might also be that there are aspects which are not so good going, you know, but it's also to give space for this, you know, and to have also there the stories behind it, the time.
So I think this is one of the aspects that we connected around, that we had been talking to different colleagues about as well. And one of the motivations was we want to support changing the approach towards monitoring. So we had exchanges about our similar experiences, the motivation that led us to this. Also about the crux that we see, that we do have a lot of tools available for monitoring, and a lot of them are suitable. We have good practice and we have experiences, And still, we often struggle. And that, in the end, led us to developing this approach based on our brainstorming. What do we think is needed? What do we want to contribute to bring monitoring of peace and human rights work a step further? So what is maybe not on the market already, but something that we think can be an addition to, also rather than competition with other tools that are out there, but what can support a different thinking process?
Yes, and especially as you said, your experience also comes from peace building and human rights, which is already a field of work which has its challenges in monitoring itself. No? So I think even bringing there something additional that could support this process would definitely be helpful. So in a summary also for our listeners, I would say, and as you mentioned, it is not about how we monitor itself, but it's what we understand by monitoring and, yeah, taking stock of our own personal perspectives at first. So it's a very individual process also, and there it's also where your workshop and your trainings are setting on. What then afterwards is happening is an aspect of each individual. And maybe, Kerstin, you can explain a bit more about how is this narrative approach applied and what does it lead to, especially as for an individual person?
Yes. Thank you, Lisa. So regarding the question how it is applied, I would say what we do is that we support people in, first of all, finding experiences related to monitoring, the monitoring practice that was and is part of their work, that we help them to find experiences that have been relevant for them in one way or another. So it's about taking a pause, so to say, giving some space to think about what has been there, which moments come to my mind when I think about monitoring, because they somehow have been important or stand out, or they are there again and again. And then we ask people to share those moments and to also, by sharing them, to also go back themselves in order to connect to those experiences. And this helps, or this is a kind of the starting point for understanding what kind of a narrative, there the word is again, has been formed by those experiences, which means which thoughts, but also which emotions, which associations do come up when monitoring comes to your mind. There we want to go to with the participants or with the people we work with, so that they understand on the one hand side which experiences have been dominant and what is their color comes to my mind. So, and by this I mean what do I associate with them? How do I feel when I think about those experiences? How is it, what is it connected to for me? And this, I mean, this already leads to a very conscious understanding in regards to, okay, this is how I feel about monitoring. So this is what I do tell myself about it. As an example, so if I mainly experience monitoring as something that is about being controlled and having to do something, for sure this will lead to emotions that are rather tense or negative or tiring. And as a first step, it's about understanding this. And then this leads to being able to consciously say, okay, that's how it is right now, but where would I like to be? How would I like to feel and think and talk about monitoring? Can't it be something exciting? Can't it be something that I associate with learning, where I feel like it's valuable and it's also enriching for me? It's about exchanging with people. It's about hearing their stories. It's about the changes we are striving for. So, and I think what we do then after this first kind of travel to the past, so to say, or to the that's how it is right now, we also work with some theoretical background, and we convey that, first of all, yes, this is how it is at the moment for you, but, and this is quite important, it is changeable. It is possible that you decide that you want to change your narrative and that you decide in which way, so that you say, in the future, I would like to tell other stories about it. So in the future, I would like, if somebody asks me which experiences do come to your mind, I would like to be able to connect to experiences or tell experiences that are about people being together, learning together, growing together, becoming stronger, understanding each other. So, and then, I mean, already by understanding that it is possible to go there and to consciously work on changing this narrative, I think this is already an important step. And then that's also what we do as a consequence, so that we give space again and lead people to choosing where they want to go, so how they would like their narrative to look like or how they would like it to be in the future. And we end by asking them to decide on first very tangible steps towards this.
It sounds like a very long journey, but I know also that this workshop is just a couple of days, but I think it's helpful for what you mentioned also, that it helps us to understand this is how it is, this is how we or I see certain aspects and how I can also change this, but that we are through the way how we are growing up, through the systems, we have our assumptions and on a certain way also certain comfort zones. But I think what you mentioned is very important, that we can change it, that we have to reflect it and express it. And there I would also like to ask you, Gesa, if you see that this approach can also be used for organization development process or for any individual to reflect about a situation he or she may face.
Yes, definitely. It can be applied in other areas, and both, I think, individual reflection and organizational development, as the example that you mentioned, because through our experiences and assumptions around those experiences, we build up a narrative that is built up like a mosaic of many different things, and that becomes our dominant narrative. So individually, that can become my perception of this is what my life is like. This is how my life is built up. At an organizational narrative, it can be, this is what I feel working in this organization is like. This is our organizational culture. And we carry those perceptions with us. Our interaction is influenced by the narrative that we carry. So the narrative approach that we offer, the kind of process that we have designed, definitely also works in other work and life areas. So as an organization, we could engage with that potentially the dominant narrative that different people perceive in the organization, discovering what assumptions are in the room about the organization, for example, and discovering what experiences are behind those. And then you would have many narratives about an organization if you gather with a group, of course. And the process that we offer engages with narratives of individual people. But if it is a group with an organization, you can, of course, also engage in that process with the intention to maybe formulate a joint narrative for the organization. See it as kind of a renewal process or as part of organizational development. And for your own life, whether it's your life in general or maybe a certain project that you have or a life area that you want to reflect, I think it's also an interesting process to discover what assumptions have made my narrative about my life up, what experiences are behind those, and what do I want to change in my narrative? And maybe that doesn't necessarily mean change the whole narrative, but bring certain parts out further. I think it can also help you to focus on certain areas where you want to develop further as an individual, as an organization. So what future narrative do you want to look towards and develop?
Sounds great. And I think, as you mentioned, it's not only for the process you had at first in mind, but especially as it is individual reflection process. And this can always lead to a certain change in a certain structure and a certain system. And from you, Kerstin, I know that you also have experience with other narrative methods, and you work more and more with the underlying concept from narrative psychology. Would you say that these methods could also contribute to break down walls in our society, or at least to change them to fences or to break them a little bit down so that we can also come closer again?
Yes, I definitely think so. Perhaps three things come to my mind. On the one hand side, as I mentioned at the beginning, it's kind of the basic element of those narratives or of our narrative being is the moments we experience, that we connect to stories that make sense to us. And already, what I love to do and do more and more is to bring people together to share those stories, which means their personal experiences, moments that matter to them, and moments that led to them, again, having a certain narrative, a certain perspective, a certain view, so to say, as to how the world is functioning. And already this sharing of stories as to my experience and also my belief, so to say, or understanding, allows people to connect in a different way, because it kind of helps you to go beyond kind of a position or my that's how it is basic assumption. And I think that's huge, because at that moment you're able to understand, oh, okay, that's what the person experienced. So you're able to see this person beyond wrong or right. It's at that moment, it's not about this is how it has to be, but it's about a human being, as I am myself, so to say, who experienced something which led to a certain development or view. But sticking to those experiences and sharing them really brings out different kinds or a different communication, a different way of exchanging, different level of exchange. And I think what adds to it is that's the second aspect, so to say. I wanted to say side effect, but this also sounds terribly technical. But it's what comes with this sharing, especially, is that hearing somebody's story, somebody's important moments. So getting this sharing also somehow as a gift, but also being listened to by somebody, really being listened to in a space that is open and that is simply there to tell and to listen, connects people in a special way. So it's also about bringing them closer, you could say, by this experience as it, you know, so independent from what people talk about. But this experience is very special, and it does something, so to say, to the people who are in this space together. And then I think a third thought, or what might be another word, a third important possibility perhaps that I see in this, and Gesa mentioned it when she talked about organizational development, is that for sure you can also work on collective narratives. I mean, by working on narratives, this means, yes, you can do it individually. You can support or accompany people working on their personal individual narrative. And this is what we focus on in our monitoring workshop, in the format that we developed so far. But for sure, you can also bring people together, or people who are together in a group, be it a neighborhood, be it an organization, be it a team, a project. You can also support them in developing their collective narrative, starting again from what is individually there, but then with the intent to help them to not bring it together, I would say, but to create a new joint narrative that makes sense for all of them, and where all of them say, yes, that's where we want to go. And the beautiful thing about this work with narratives is that by forming this, by developing this narrative, you already start moving there unintentionally. You know, it's like it's in our system. When we have a clear and also a tangible picture of where we want to go, we start moving there.
Yeah, when listening to you also to Gesa, I was thinking about, it is an individual reflection, but it also came to my mind, there were years or 100 years ago, people told each other stories. No, it was also their way of communicating, of giving lessons learned to each other. And maybe we also, well, at least in certain cultures, not everywhere, but we have lost this a little bit. So I think it's also good to go back to this and start sharing, and also having the self-reflection about it. Thanks to both of you for this conversation. And I think there could still topics, and there would even be more time to talk about other aspects. What I would like to also give space to you, Geza, to let us know a little bit more about the training or the workshop, because you mentioned you're offering the narrative approach to monitoring also in a workshop. So it might be also interesting to our listeners to get more information about this.
Yes, so we offer a workshop format, Building a New Narrative for Monitoring. And we are offering this twice a year, prospectively once in spring and once in autumn. It is a workshop that is divided over 4 days and includes 3 full days of work, which allows us to work with people from different time zones as well, which we have made good experiences with, because it helps also connections, sharing different stories, discovering different and similar experiences, and working on narratives. So 3 full days divided over 4 days. And participants of our workshops are usually people who are either practicing or overseeing monitoring in the field of conflict transformation, human rights, or other fields of social change. This may be in a nutshell.
Yeah, thanks. And maybe listeners are already interested in, you will also have, as part of the description of the podcast, a concrete link to the homepage. So if you're interested in more information, you can click there. And maybe if you don't want to wait, you can also start a little bit on your own reflection and working on this approach, and where I would really like to invite you. So to ask yourself the question about what is monitoring for you and how you have come to this concept. Or what are your stories with monitoring? And in case if you are not working on monitoring or project-related aspects, where have you created stories to explain procedures? How explicit have you been about your assumptions? And how might all this be related to your and our attitudes and how we treat each other also? Thanks again, Geza and Kerstin. Wishing you good luck for the next processes, and really looking forward for further exchange on this topic.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you very much for the conversation.